This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stephen Cuoco, a radio host, author, and grief counsellor. His book, Guided Transformation, includes poems, quotes, and inspiration to help readers along the pathway of life. It's a testament to his journey from trauma to triumph. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you, Hannah, and good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon for us, but good morning for you. Lovely to have you with us. So, wow, it sounds like you've been on one hell of a journey. You're quite a traumatic childhood, to say the least. What made you want to kind of share your story with the rest of the world?
Great question, Hannah. I'm going to honestly tell you, I wasn't too sure if I wanted to share my story with the world. But I knew at the same time, through a great support system, my family who adopted me, counselors, even my therapist and some of my mentors, always felt that there was something bigger. There was something more that, you know, for me being here in this world, how I made it out through a lot of the trauma and the abuse that I had gone through with my biological family, that there is a bigger calling. And I believe at times most people may not realize, and even when they resist or think to themselves, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to get on stage. I don't want to public speak. I don't want to write a book. Could be the sign that that is all that you're meant to do, or maybe some of it. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. It's amazing that you've been able to kind of come out the other side of such trauma in such a strong way. I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't always like that. You obviously had a real tough time as a kid.
It was, and it's hard to package it all. I mean, there is no TEDx talk. There's no program. There's no nothing that can be done. You know, I'm going to be 50 this April. And when we look at the fact to where the trauma was every single day, once again, no one can package their own life story into a CD or book. And with that being said, and my whole point in that, Hannah, is, you know, getting through a lot of growing up, being biracial, growing up in a family of being second generation biracial, dealing with a family with, you know, drug addiction and alcoholism and gambling, and who absolutely hated themselves in their lives. And having had worked in mental health for 15 years, is most people don't realize that when it comes to someone having an addiction, it's not so much the drug. It's a fact that people use the drug or alcohol or whatever addictions it may be as an escape. And what understanding that my mother and my stepdad and my family, for the most part, had so much of their own personal trauma and their own self-hatred and self-loathing to where they allowed being a victim to victimize themselves. And there is a quote or a statement from one of my favorite shows that was said, "The most unspeakable violence that one can commit is the violence to themselves." And that is so true. And that's something I saw every day. And it's something I still see in the world and even in the industry that I work in, is the most unspeakable violence that can happen is the violence that you can commit to yourself. That's being neglectful. That's not being inspired enough to know that your life is worth more than giving up. And you have to find ways to know that you are here for a reason. And I always knew, Hannah, that I was here for a reason. And I only had two choices. And I knew this at a very young age, that either I was going to fight for myself to live and to find out what it means to live a life and to have a life, or to allow my family to kill me, literally.
Yeah. I mean, I assume you must have had help and mentors and people to kind of get you to realize those things, because growing up in a house with people that have these kind of addictions and aren't nice to themselves or you, it must be very difficult to understand what life means and what the point of life is.
It truly is. And that's a great point. You know, even after when I was taken from my biological mother and put into foster care, I just knew, like at the age of 7 and a half, that I didn't even know what love meant. I was still in fight or flight, Hannah. I was still in a place and space to where I just did not understand what it meant to be a kid, what it meant to be a human being, what it meant to be a boy, what it meant to be anything. I just wanted to know, am I going to be able to eat? Am I going to be able to have clean clothes? Am I going to be able to go to bed? Can I go from one room to another without being threatened or beaten or punched or choked or slapped or whatever it may be? You know, once again, I'm going to speak myself. I cannot unpackage all the trauma, whether in a long segment or short segment, except to say that everyone, including now, my grandfather always said that what you're doing now is happening somewhere else. And all I have to say is any person, whether child, adult, animal, that is in a situation, in an environment, if you are in an environment, anyone who's in an environment where you are abused and neglected, and most importantly, if that is something you're doing to yourself, don't be scared to ask for help. Get yourself out of that situation, because if you don't get yourself out of that situation, it's not guaranteed that someone else will. I was very lucky that a relative finally called the state of New Jersey and reported my stepdad and the abuse and got me out of that situation. Mm-hmm. But I was in that situation for almost 8 years. 8 years. And I almost did not make it out alive, literally.
Gosh. And tell us about your foster family and how things changed when you met them.
It changed a lot. They gave me a safe home, Hannah. And thank you for the question. It gave me a safe home and a safe space, but I still never felt safe in the world. I never felt safe walking out the door or going to school. Being biracial growing up in the 70s and 80s was a very different time. I'm Italian, Sicilian, Puerto Rican, Brazilian. I looked very Latino when I was younger. I had, very thick, curly, bushy hair. And I grew up primarily in a white community. And even though my parents were not racist, I still grew up in an environment and during a time where you did not have interracial relationships. And if you were not white, you were bullied and attacked. And I was called a spick. I was called a fag. I was called a queer. I was called anything and everything that you can think of under the sun. Also, while being flamboyant, not understanding what it meant at that time, what it meant to be gay, what it meant to be, you know, what they called, you know, the F word for anyone that is of LGBT, you know, of the community. And I just wanted to get through the day and have fun and make friends. And still, you know, the struggles extended, you know, if it wasn't one hell that I went through before being taken away, I went through even more afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I never felt like I had a break. And honestly, I became very angry, very jaded. I believe in God very much. And as much as I have faith and remember having faith as a kid, I just wanted answers as to why I went from one tumultuous environment to another. And even though the abuse and torment wasn't happening in the house, it was now happening outside of the house. whether in school or I would be walking somewhere and I would have a group of kids be chasing me down because I look different or I walk different or whatever it may be. And yeah, I'm going to be honest. I almost did not go to college because I was bullied and tormented all the way up to my senior year in high school. And I thought to myself, Hannah, wow, like really? Like what did I do? And I had a pity party for myself, but I had to get myself out of it because I thought to myself, either I allow myself to be myself or I allow these people to victimize me and to change myself into someone and something else that I'm not. And I knew I could not do that, but I knew it came with a cost. And once again, yes, I almost did not go to college because I thought to myself, if I'm going to be bullied all the way up to my senior year in high school, even on my graduation day, that's supposed to be my day of celebration, I still received the snickers and the comments and the remarks and everything else from those that people who had some sort of hatred, maybe about themselves, they, you know, put that onto me. But it took me 3 months being in university of realizing that, oh, I'm not going to be kicked or punched from behind. And, you know, I can sit down and have lunch and not have to worry about someone, you know, flipping over my tray or coming over and kicking my chair. But yeah, I was looking over my shoulder for 3 months when I was in university. And it's very refreshing to know that when you finally grow up, no matter how much you protect yourself and do what you need to do to sustain your emotional, mental, and even physical well-being, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It does eventually stop. And no matter how much, I'm going to close by saying, no matter how much you try to make it stop, the only thing that you can do is, even in the face of turmoil, is continue to stand up for yourself, hold your head high, be aware of your surroundings, but allow people to know that they're not going to get away with this.
Oh, definitely. That's a great message. And well done you. I think you're amazing to have come through it all so strongly and so confidently. Incredible.
Thank you for that, Hannah.
And can you just tell us quickly what people can expect from your book, Guided Transformation?
Yes, Guided Transformation, Poems, Quotes, and Inspiration. Thank you for the question. It's still doing well. I sold out all of my hard copies again. It happens every year. I get a large stack of hard copies, you know, for the holiday time. And I do a little book tour. And the reviews are still going strong. People are still buying it. I have social workers and psychologists and counselors that are still using my book and sharing my book with their clients or using it in therapy sessions, sharing my story. And this is the whole thing, Hannah. I never planned to be an author. I never had a desire to be an author in this way. I thought I would write a novel and be turned into a television series or a film. But it ended up to where my counselor and my therapist suggested, he said, this is really good work. You need to share it, but it's not just about the poems and the quotes. It's about the story behind it. And so I had taken different sections of these short little inspirations, whether it's a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15 or 20-year-old, and I put them all together. And it's unedited. It's unscripted. I could have had an editor look it over. I did not want that to happen. I wanted people to read what I wrote and allow it to encourage questions or to allow it to encourage them to look within themselves, to either look further into my backstory, sit down and have a talk session like what we're doing right now. And 11 years later, here we are. I'm still talking about the book. I'm now sharing my story into detail. And to close by, you know, with this, Hannah, is it was scary. Even when I wrote the book and it became an international bestseller, I was still scared to go deep within my story because I was still scared of being rejected. I was still scared of not being perfect for what I felt the media or society thought I should be, because honestly, people still have trouble with getting past looking at someone once they realize there's trauma or there's some sort of problem there. They don't want that to be part of their lives. That's at least the environment or world I grew up in, is everything needed to be problems swept underneath the rug. Don't let anyone know, because if they know that you are not completely stable and sane and having a perfect life, you could face rejection. And honestly, throughout my life at certain periods of time, that is true.
Yeah.
People wanted to deal with the perfect Stephen, not the trauma Stephen.
It's horrible, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, you're the victim. You're the one who's been through such a horrible time. So for then people to feel uncomfortable with that and you know, kind of want to brush it all in the carpet is like a double blow, isn't it? Which is not nice.
You hit the box of nails hammer through the board with one hammer swing. And in today's society, if anybody says it's gotten better, they're living in a fantasy world, because I believe things have gotten worse. And I'm grateful to have grown up in a world to where this technology didn't exist. Because honestly, I don't know if anyone in the 70s and 80s and early 90s would have been able to sustain themselves knowing how different those generations were with the way technology is being used today.
Yeah.
Very much, I would say technology is used more like vigilante style of way of behaviors than it is bringing people together.
Yeah. That's such a shame. Well, it's been amazing to have you with us on the show, Stephen Cuoco. Thank you so much for joining us. And if listeners want to get a copy of your book, Overcoming Childhood Trauma, it is available on our website. The book is called Guided Transformation, Poems, Quotes and Inspiration. And that's on our website, tre.radio. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope to be able to come back on again sometime.
That would be lovely. Thank you, Stephen. Take care.
Take care. Thank you, Hannah.